Welcome to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast. We're Kate and Liam, married bisexuals a decade into our non-monogamous journey.
We've been having sex with our friends for 10 years, and we're still madly in love with each other.
We're the authors of the Monogamous Marriage blog, where we've been overthinking sex and love since 2016. This podcast is the place where we process our sexual adventures in real time.
We are not experts, and nothing we say should be mistaken for professional advice. This show contains mature language and sexual content, so if you're under 18, it isn't for you. But if you're a fellow overthinker and you're not freaked out by unfiltered conversation, you're going to feel right at home.
We were recently speakers at an event, and one of the pieces of feedback we got afterward was that during the seminar, I had made an exemplar of a sexual interaction we had had the night before.
So you should be more specific, an orgy we had had the night before with a lot of people.
Yes, I was about to expound on that. Okay. We had been invited to an orgy. There were 14 people invited, 20 people showed up. It was a significant number of people there. When I was asked a question, the immediate example that came to mind was something that had happened recently the night before. Right. So I gave this example, and afterward, the feedback was, one of the people in the audience felt it was inappropriate because they had been excluded from that orgy, and they felt that it made them feel further excluded to have it mentioned that there was an orgy that they were not invited to. So this started a lot of conversation between us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was actually some conversation at the time. I remember when you did it, my shoulders went up a little bit, like, oh, I don't know if we should be doing that, because while we own the story, we didn't necessarily have to share that it had happened the night before so that everyone in the audience would either say, yeah, I was there, it was awesome, or I wasn't there and I feel pretty bad that I wasn't even told about this thing.
And I really get that. You know, I was a loser in high school. You know, you wouldn't know it to see me right now, but I was a kid with braces and glasses and a bad perm and secondhand clothes, and I was an outsider. So I really know what it feels like to be on the outside and how sensitized you get to any kind of mention that there was a thing that you were not included in. I understand that's not a nice feeling.
Right. And we've actually had that experience even very recently. This isn't just about your high school journey from ugly duckling to beautiful swan. It's happened since you've become a beautiful swan.
Sure. Yeah. There have been groups that we were on the inside of. And then as the relationship shifted, we suddenly found ourselves on the outside. And again, it's not a nice feeling. However, when you're at a sexual event, you know, a lifestyle takeover, you have to expect that sex is happening and that not everyone can be included. There is no playroom big enough to fit an entire hotel's worth of people in.
Right.
So there is always necessarily going to be things happening that not everyone is included in. So I figured everybody accepts that. Everybody knows that. And in a sex-positive space, we should be able to say, hey, we were at an orgy last night. This interesting thing happened that is on point for the conversation we're having right now.
Right. And I suppose the thing that we wouldn't know is if that person had been at an even better orgy or an even better four-on-four sexual experience. So it's not like it's obvious that you were either at our orgy or you were sitting in your room scrolling through your Instagram.
Right. So the conversation that we're going to have today, I guess, is partly about that being in or being out, but more importantly, it's about how to ask for what you want clearly so that you could potentially be on the inside of a group in the future. And really that it's in everyone's power to create those situations where the next day you have cool stories to tell, because really it is your job to create your opportunities and to follow up on connections you make. That is entirely within your power. And we're going to talk today about how exactly to do that.
And as the voice of reality in this situation, I know I'm not always the voice of reality on this podcast, but in this particular situation, we're also confronting the idea that the lifestyle is not fair, that some people are going to have more opportunities than other people.
Right. We want to think of it as this utopian paradise where everybody is friends with everyone. And to an extent, that's true. Everyone is very friendly, and this is a more open and welcoming community than any I've encountered. But it still doesn't mean that you get to have sex with everybody you want to have sex with, right? We're still living in the real world.
Right.
So we're going to talk about how to ask for what you want clearly. This is a hard thing, and we've encountered this. You especially have encountered this. We talked about it on one of our recent podcasts because it's a vulnerable thing to ask for sex, right? You don't want to put yourself or someone else in an awkward position. And what you're asking for is very intimate and very personal and very close to the core of who we are.
Right. But it also has to do with how you're wired as an individual. So to me, asking for something, forget about sex, in any realm of life, there's a potential embarrassment there. And so I only ask questions in my entire life where I know the answer is going to be yes. Because hearing no is so difficult for me. Whereas for you, it's a lot lighter thing. You're perfectly comfortable hearing no, then you're on to the next opportunity. Am I capturing your approach correctly?
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of live by the whole, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, mm-hmm. right? So if you only ask when you are 100% sure there's a yes, how many opportunities are you missing out on because you're not confident enough to pursue that probably 90% chance of a yes?
Right. So for someone like me, I can easily forgo lots of opportunities. I can easily forgo scoring lots of goals. If you can just promise me I'll never have to hear a no, I don't have to have all the sex. It's a completely different approach, and it has to do with my twisted inner life.
Well, that's sad for you. I mean, you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities, but that's fine. I mean, part of it is, for me, sex is very light. Mm-hmm. So I approach sex, this occurred to me this week, actually. Sex for me feels a lot like dancing. So it's this physical release where I can get out of my mind and into my body. And if I approach you on the dance floor and kind of, you know, rub up against you and you get into it, we're going to have a fun dance together. But if you step back, I'm not telling myself it's because I'm a disgusting person. I'm telling myself it's because maybe you're not comfortable dancing, or you feel too sweaty and gross at the moment, or you are about to go to the bathroom or get a drink. So I have all kinds of reasons why you might not want to dance with me. And that's fine. It doesn't hurt my feelings. And so sex is just as light and airy for me as that. It's just as easy to hear no, because I don't put a lot of weight onto it. It's just fun. It's just play. And my self-esteem, my self-worth are not really entangled in the act of sex. So right. I just assume that people have lots of good reasons that probably aren't about me.
Right. So my perspective is nothing is light and airy for me. So if I say, hey, do you want to go to the bar and grab a drink? I'm always going to follow it with, but I understand completely if you're just doing your thing here now, don't let me disturb you. Because I think if I give you permission to say no, I've somehow preserved my sense of self-worth. Because it's going to feel like an attack if you don't simply want to come to the bar and grab a drink with me.
Okay. So that maybe leads into our first thing, which is you should only ask for something when you've already established a foundation. So
yes.
If you have been dancing with that person on the dance floor, mm-hmm. maybe you had a nice conversation with them at dinner the other day. You've laid a good foundation so that when you come to them and say, hey, do you want to go get a drink? You can feel fairly confident that you already have a rapport with that person. But if it's just a total rando and you're just like, hey, come do this thing with me, you should probably not be surprised if they say no or express a little discomfort, right? So you have to have that foundation laid first.
Right. And the perfect example of not laying a foundation is, I don't know, 60% of your interactions on Instagram or OnlyFans, where people say, hey, I know you've never seen me. I'm just a circle with a all-purpose head in the middle of it. And I've only made a couple of comments on your posts, but can I meet you in person? Would you right. like to have sex with me? And so it's just amazing, this thing that you think would be obvious, that of course you should build up some rapport with the person. And there should be some relational momentum before you ask for something that's at a higher level of intimacy. But it's not universal.
Right. Yeah, so there are definitely people out there who just have no social awareness. And those guys who come at me with, hey, do you want to meet up, when we've had zero interaction, they don't have a good sense of how the world works, I would imagine. But if you are a sensitive person who does understand that the intimate act of sex requires some foundation laying first, well, then you probably will not be successful in this lifestyle, right?
Right. And, you know, it's one thing to have that sense that, okay, I think we're ready for the next level. But how to do that is another question completely.
Well, I don't think it's very hard. So I think it's important to be specific. So if you're approaching a couple who you've already developed a bit of a relationship with, you feel fairly confident that there's a mutual attraction, you like each other, maybe you're laughing together, maybe there's some light, safe touching, then your offer to them should be specific. Right. So in the last podcast, you were talking about a PCAP, that woman who you said, I want to do all the things with you. And she said, I want to do all the things with you too. And that was the end of the conversation.
Right.
So my advice to people is to be specific about what you want. So you said, I'm into you, but that was not where you should have stopped. You should tell them, what do you want to do with that attraction? What is the next step? What exactly are you requesting of them? So I think you need to have a few specific details laid out. So the time, the place, and the situation. So I'm really into you. I want to do all the things with you. Follow up. How about in an hour, I'm going to be in the playroom. If you and your husband want to join me and Kate, we would love that. So the time, the place, and the situation have been made clear. In an hour, we're going to be in the playroom. What we're offering is a foursome. And if you guys want to join, we'd love to have you, right? So that very specific request is the follow-up that has to happen after you establish, we like each other. So now what are we going to do about it?
Well, I also like what you just said that people may have missed, so I'm going to repeat it, which is, I want to do all the things with you. So what do you want to do with that? That's also a great move to put it back on them, because they may have a clearer vision than you do.
Right. Yeah, but you also don't want to give away the situation. So if you're feeling convicted that I want to do something, I have an idea of where I want to go and what I want to do, take that power and say it. So if you just say to them, what do you want to do? They could say back, well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Right. And then there's this tug of war of ambiguity. So I think if you know what you want, say what you want.
Right. So I'm speaking up now for the people who rarely know exactly what they want. So if I say, what do you want to do with that? And she says, I don't know. What do you want to do? At least I know we're on the same level now. Now I can be my creative self with that person, because she didn't say no. She just says, she's just saying, basically, I'm like you. I don't know either. And then we can move along. But there is a chance that she is going to say, hey, why don't you join us? We're having this little party later on, or I have to do this first, or how about tomorrow would be actually better for me, or just all the different kinds of things that you might get for free just by asking.
Okay. But I'm all about being active, not passive. I know you want to have the woman approach you and have all the work done for you. But what I'm saying is, if you are that person sitting in the audience feeling like I'm always excluded, this is what you can do to reclaim your power, to create situations for yourself where you are not excluded. If you sit back and wait for people to approach you, you're going to have way fewer opportunities. So we're talking about what can you do, not what you can wrangle other people to maybe do for you, right?
But I'm just talking about people. You know, we heard something recently about, you know, fight and flight responses, and some more nuance was added to it. Fawning, freezing and fawning were the other two. So I recognize myself as a fawner. And part of that means I don't even know what I want to do. I'm interested in you, but I literally do not have a vision that I can sketch out for you. There are certainly lots of people who have very specific fantasies. I'm just not one of them. And I think there are more people like me out there than we might know about, because they don't speak up very often.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you create an entire script that you must follow word for word. I'm just saying that if you have an attraction to someone, you walk away from that conversation or that dinner you had, and you think, you ask yourself, what would I like to do to follow up with them? Would I like to ask her for a one-on-one situation back in our room? Would I like to ask her to go out for a cocktail with me alone to have more conversation? You have to do the work before you approach someone to really think through, what am I feeling? What would I like? What is my style? What would turn me on? And then bring it to them and say, here's what I was thinking. And if you haven't had the opportunity to do that thought process, then you're talking to them too soon. So you need to go away, think about it, talk to your partner, ask what they're comfortable with. And, you know, that's a big step we actually skipped over. You've got to make sure you're not inviting these other people to a foursome before you've asked your partner if they're cool with that, right?
Which is harder than it seems because things can happen very quickly at a lifestyle event.
Right. That's why the next step after you've built on a foundation and been specific about what you want is to walk away. So I really believe, and I'm not always perfect at doing this in action, but my theory is never put someone on the spot. So don't stand there and say, do you want to go now? Can we go right now back to the room? You have to kind of drop that bomb and walk away because you want to give people a chance to think about it, to talk honestly with their partner, to voice any concerns they have between them. And you don't want to put them on the spot for that. So just suggest your scenario. We're going to be in the playroom in an hour. We'd love to have you two join us and walk away. Low pressure, light and breezy, very easy for you to go to the playroom and maybe they show up and maybe they don't. They never even have to say to your face, no, we're not going to do it. So it makes it easier for them to say yes or no. It also makes it easier for you to receive their answer if it is a no, because they don't have to give it right to your face.
Right. Yeah, they can merely meet you the next day and say, hey, yeah, sorry, we missed you at the playroom. We ended up doing this or that. And they don't really ever have to say a direct no to you.
Right. And we have done that in the past.
Right.
So is this something you think you could do? Can you imagine actually making this happen in real life?
The instructions are very simple. Mm-hmm. So feeling it in the moment where you're comfortable, because so often for me, the desire is actually to have one-on-one time with someone. And I don't know what you think. I believe in the lifestyle. It's a minority of people who are interested in, open to a one-on-one experience.
Sure.
So there is another dimension, which is there is a percentage of that group who considers it an insult to their partner, an attack on their coupledom to make that kind of suggestion. So it's not as easy as just framing a scenario in my mind and then presenting it for that person. There's a high probability not only of a no, but of some kind of antagonism, like somehow my request was an attack.
Okay, so this is where I feel like our next step is a really good one for people like you who feel kind of nervous about this. Mm-hmm. And it is to create micro scripts. So the idea is to, you could even write these down and rehearse them. 2-sentence little offers where you are saying specifically what I want, where I'd like it to happen, and when.
Right.
And you're practicing in advance. How could I say this? What tone could I use to keep it light and non-threatening? How specifically could I frame it so that this is about my desire, not about their partner's lack of desirability? So a microscript you could use for that situation is, I don't know if you two play separately, but my partner is really into you and I'd be happy to give you two some time alone this afternoon. So that's something I could say on your behalf. In fact, it is something I have said on your behalf. Mm-hmm. That's something you could say for me if I'm really into a guy. Right. And sometimes it might be easier to do this kind of middle school thing where you're the go-between.
Right.
So I feel more confident doing the asking and it's maybe less awkward if I just say, you know what, Liam really likes to play separately and I would love to provide that space for him. I don't know if you guys play separately, but if you do, you know, our room's available this afternoon. So I could make that offer for you, but I do feel like you really need to develop the confidence to be able to say this yourself. So by framing it as, I really like playing separately, you're not saying your husband is gross and Kate's not into him. You're saying my preference, which I should not have to apologize for, is to have some one-on-one time. I don't know if you guys do that. Leave that for their conversation when you walk away. But I would love to have some time with you this afternoon in our room. And then you leave. And it's not saying anything about excluding her husband. It's just saying, this is my preference. And can you accommodate that preference? And then when you leave, they can decide whether that turns them on or not. And it's totally fine. You have to be prepared for them to say, we're not really comfortable with that scenario. And believe it's not about you, it's about them. Right. Does that sound possible?
Of course.
Okay.
I've actually done it before. I just have not done it in every instance where I wanted to. So that's the challenge for me.
Okay. So let's practice this.
Oh, no.
So let's come up with a microscript for you. You do this, okay? I'm putting you on the spot here. The thing I said we're not going to do. So you are dancing with the same couple all night, and they touch you both a lot, but they don't seem to want to stop dancing as people start leaving the dance floor for the playroom. So you, Liam, you're really into this woman. You see that I'm actually pretty into the guy, and you think he's kind of cute too. What are you going to say to them as they dance the night away?
Assuming we're dancing at a place that has a playroom, that's a classic instance of we're going to be in the playroom later, and we'd love to continue what's going on here later there.
Okay. So would you say that to the man or the woman, do you think?
It depends who the rapport is with. Like, obviously, it's easier to have a same-sex conversation in a heterosexual connection. So there's less threat there. I'm just a guy sharing some information with another guy. You can be just a girl sharing it with another girl. So that's probably the way to go. But sometimes the connection is a cross-axis connection, in which case I'm really connecting with the woman and I'm barely aware of what the guy is thinking. And so I'm really going to count on her to answer for the both of them.
Right. Okay. Here's another scenario.
Okay.
You're in the middle of an orgy. You're vibing with someone and you want to take it to the next level. This sounds familiar. But their partner seems to be having a hard time. Come up with a microscript that you could prepare in advance and say to that person while you're in the middle of the orgy, feeling really great with them. You look across, you see their partner, maybe not engaging as much as you would like.
Right.
What do you say to that person?
Yeah, and it's important to remember in this case that I could be wrong. I could look at a person who's having a hard time, but he could just have the male version of resting bitch face, and he's actually having the time of his life.
Right. So knowing that, you can bring that into your microscript.
Sure.
So what would you say?
So I would say I would love to go to the next level, whatever that means in the instance. So I'd like to go to the bedroom if you're together in more of a living room situation, if it's a suite. But I'm not sure how things are with so-and-so, or I really like so-and-so, and I'd hate this to be a bad situation for him, or that kind of thing. And then basically you just stop talking and let them answer, because they're going to say, oh, no, he's having the time of his life. That's just him. Mm. Or, yeah, no, you're right. Thanks for pointing it out. I'm going to go check in with him. So I think the main thing there is just acknowledging that this feeling you have has to be dealt with. It's not like, well, hopefully I can get away with it. Hopefully he's not having a terrible time. Hopefully there's not going to be a price to pay later. It has to be dealt with in the moment.
Right. Yeah. So in this situation, I might say to the person, I am loving the connection with you. I'm going to go grab a drink of water and head into the bedroom. If you want to join me, maybe you should check in on your partner and make sure that's okay. And I'll be in there.
Right.
Right. So remove yourself from the situation so they have a little privacy and time to talk. Buy them a little time by going to get a drink of water. Move to another space where you can have that next level experience you want with them. So having more intimacy with them. But also, because you have left, the pressure is off. So they can join you or not join you. All right. What happens if you are approached by someone you're not that into?
So saying no requires empathy. So that feeling that especially someone like me has, who hates to hear no in any aspect of life, is I'm going to now imagine what it's like to be that other person and to hear that. And what's the way I can do it that most gently, but the clearest as well? Because, you know, I've been in situations where I've had to fire people. And one of the first rules is, you've got to make sure the person knows they're being fired, which would sound obvious, but some people get so caught up in the, oh, you're a great employee, and I don't know if things are working out here. Probably some changes are required. And at the end, they never clearly deliver the news. So in a situation like this, you've really got to make sure you deliver the news while being as gentle as possible.
Right. So I think we can probably use the same three steps we used in how to ask for what you want, in how to say no to someone. So first was lay the foundation. And in this case, you want to be careful that you are not leading people on.
Right.
Right. So if you are having a nice social time with people, but you're not really sexually attracted to them, just be cautious about how you approach them. So you can laugh and talk and have a nice meal, but maybe don't get too touchy with them. Maybe don't mention anything about you going to the playroom later. So you have to be really cautious that you are laying a foundation that says as clearly as possible to them, I'm not feeling a sexual vibe. Right. So you don't want them to come back with you later and say, I feel like you misled me. And then the second thing is to be clear. So you want to make sure that the other couple doesn't misunderstand your message. So you can't be wishy-washy about it. You can't be like, I don't know. We got to go do this other thing right now. So in your mind, that might be a nice little deke around. But for them, they could be waiting for you when you come back because you haven't been really clear about your no. So make sure that you're gentle, but unambiguous. So say, thank you so much. That's such a sweet offer, but not tonight. Right. Or we're not really feeling that kind of connection. Right. And it's clear. And I think that whole clear is kind thing is actually really accurate because you don't want people sitting there twiddling their thumbs, waiting for you to return, feeling like they're in this in-between place where maybe there's another couple they could approach. Right. And they're waiting for you to come back because that's not kind to them.
Right. There's another thing too, and we don't talk about this a lot in the lifestyle, but things change over time. So there will be a stage at which it'll come first for me, but ultimately for you too, where we'll age out of the sexual part of the lifestyle, or we'll age out of a certain group of people and need to transition to another group of people. And the way you learn that in the body is by hearing some no's, and you start to say, oh, there's a pattern here. Now I'm not going to continue to push for something that is just unrealistic. I'm going to take the message and transition to a new stage of this adventure, which could be an even better stage. But the reality comes from hearing clear messages from the environment, from the people that are out there. So in that sense, also, you're doing people a favor.
Yeah. And that sounds kind of fatalistic, like we're all just aging out of this. But really, we are aging along with our peers.
Sure.
Right. And it is a community of a wide range of ages. So maybe you're just approaching the wrong people.
Right.
Right. But we're talking about how to give a no, not how to accept it. That comes next.
Right. Yeah. I'm just reinforcing, I guess, the reasoning why it's good to be clear in the sense that you're actually doing the person or the couple a favor.
Yeah. So maybe you're just letting them know, okay, you're kind of playing in the wrong field right now.
Yeah, she would never actually say.
Of course, that's not kind. But maybe if they get enough of those no's from the
people that they're approaching.
The 40-something people, they'll start to realize, well, maybe I need to go to my own age group or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very complex calculation that each of us have to make. I know we've looked at people and say, that's not a group for us to approach for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. There are people that are too hot for us, for sure.
Okay. There's no one that's too hot for you. There are people that are too hot for me. Let's be real, but I appreciate you being gentle about it.
Okay. And in the first scenario, I said, ask the question and walk away. In this scenario, if you're turning someone down, part of being kind is not walking away. So once you've said no, don't just turn and walk away because that feels dismissive and...
Yeah, like you're rejecting them as human beings.
Yeah, so look for ways to say that I value you as a human being. So maybe you say, you know what, we're not really feeling sexual chemistry, but we like you guys so much. Do you want to join us for brunch tomorrow?
Right.
And then you can just reinforce that I really do like you in this kind of way. And I'm going to prove it to you by offering to spend time with you in a way that I'm comfortable with. Because this is a small community and you're going to see these people at other events in the future. So you don't want to be mean or harsh or burn bridges. You want everybody to walk away with a good feeling about you.
Right. And that's also because the people you're saying no to today could be the people you actually want to say yes to tomorrow. We've had that instance in our lives with couples we're really close to. And the first approach just didn't seem like a good fit. And then later we go, what were we thinking? These people are amazing. But you don't always see it. So another thing you're doing in terms of being gentle with your no, is preserving a possibility of a future yes.
Right. And you want to make sure that everyone feels safe and respected. So you are totally allowed to say no. And if you feel like you can't say no to a person, if they get mean back to you, well, they're not the kind of people you want to be with anyway, right? So if you say no, we actually worked on this at Hedo. One of the things that one of the presenters said was, if someone says no to you, your answer should be, thank you for taking care of yourself.
Right.
Because really, that's what they're doing. They're saying, I'm not going to take one for the team. Right. I'm not going to compromise on what I feel comfortable with. And so to honor that, you know, saying, thank you for taking care of yourself, that's a lovely response. And on the other side, if you're the one saying no, you also want to take care of them. No, I don't really want to do that right now, but thank you so much for asking. That was such a lovely offer. And I'm having such a wonderful conversation with you. Let's keep that going.
Right. That no also saves the person from finding out later that, heaven forbid, they were doing something with you that their heart was not in.
That doesn't feel good.
They've actually spared you something that is, you know, a possible regret that you could have. So we're going to take a pause, and then we're going to come right back and continue to explore this topic. As we're recording this, you are leaving tomorrow for your Sapio Tours Women of the Lifestyle retreat.
Yep, it is my first trip of 2024, and we have 4 trips coming up.
For those of you who don't know, Sapio Tours is a small group travel business bringing non-monogamous couples to European destinations of cultural and historical interest.
This is my new baby. My other kids have grown up, so Sapio Tours has become my substitute child. And I am so loving planning and leading these trips. So we're going to the women's retreat in West Virginia this weekend. Sorry, that one sold out. We're going to go to Greece in June.
And sorry, that one sold out.
Yep, we're going to Italy in August.
And you guessed it,
sold out. But we do have one trip that is not quite sold out yet, and it's one we haven't even talked about. We are going to Provence, which is in southern France, September 21st to 28th of 2024. That one sold so quickly, we didn't even have a chance to advertise it on the podcast. But there is one room left. So if you're sitting out there thinking, man, these trips sound great, but I just can't manage to get to one in time, this is your opportunity.
And for those of you who really like to plan in advance, we are going to be announcing the 2025 Sapio Tours schedule very soon. So if you want to get in early, make sure you add your name to the mailing list by contacting us at sapiotours.com.
Go to the contact page and just put in your information, and we'll make sure that you are the first to know about new tours as they are launched.
And now, back to the podcast.
So before the break, we were talking about how to ask for what you want and how to say no to what you don't want.
Right.
Now we're going to talk about accepting a no. Right. So if you ask clearly for what you want and you've gone through the steps, you've laid the foundation of flirtation and mutual attraction, you have asked very clearly and specifically for what you want, where, when, and how you want that to happen. And you have walked away to give the couple a time alone to talk it through, and they come back to you with a no. What do you do with that? So this is your worst fear, Liam.
Right. I always think that there are some important things that I want to remember, which is that desire isn't owed. So that's an important thing to remember when you're asking someone and you're going to hear what they have to say, but also when you're feeling pressure to give someone what you're pretty sure they want when it's not really what you want. And underlying that is just the idea that attraction isn't fair. I wish it was. I wish that all the people who deserved attention got the attention they deserved. But life doesn't work that way, and we have to accept that and accommodate it within the lifestyle. So I often think yes means one thing, but no can mean many things. And this is something that we have to keep in mind when we're employing our sense of empathy to imagine what it's like to be the other person in an interaction.
I think you're tempted to think the worst when you're turned down. I know you are. And just to completely personalize that and say, oh, I'm a bad person. I'm not sexually attractive. They're not into someone as old as me.
Or I've misjudged the situation. I think that's my biggest fear, that I'll look foolish because I did not understand what was going on.
Yeah, so it's important to remember that this is very complicated. So not just regular complications. We're talking about exponential levels of complication when we're in the lifestyle. So it's helpful for us to imagine that there are alternative explanations to I am hideous, right? That is not the only answer. In fact, it's very likely not the answer at all. So let's just do a little practice again. So hit me with some possible reasons why people could say no to us. So say we've done that thing we did earlier. We're going to be in the playroom in an hour. We would love if you would join the two of us.
Right.
And they come back with a thank you, but not tonight.
Right. So the number one reason is that they think we're disgusting human beings who are morally depraved.
Okay. That's where possible. Your mind goes.
It is possible, but I recognize that that is very rarely and perhaps even never what's going on.
Okay. So what are some other possibilities?
Well, I just think of situations that we've been in. Mm-hmm. So it can be as simple as someone is not feeling very well. So a woman could be on her period and that's really messing with her ability to be free and relaxed in a sexual setting. So you're feeling like they're saying no because it's something about you. They're a little too shy to say what the real reason is. And so we make mistaken assumptions about what's going on when it can be as simple, even as physiological as that.
Okay. What are some other possible reasons why people would say no?
They could be having relationship problems themselves. Mm-hmm. So there has been a longstanding issue that they're working their way through and they had hoped to be completely clear of it by the time they got to this event, but they're not. And it just feels wrong to play. Or they've just argued an hour ago over something that caught them both by surprise. And now the thought of playing with another couple is the farthest thing from their minds.
Good. Any other possible reason someone might say no?
I've got a million of them.
Okay, keep going.
So they...
And remember...
Yes?
This is also applied to you if someone says no to you, right?
Of course.
We're going to remember this in the future.
Right.
Okay, keep going. Other reasons.
And by the way, I just want to say, I love your style of condescension. It's so... like so smooth and really appreciated by me.
Well, I get that this is intellectually, it's not hard to come up with reasons, but in your guts, in your heart, you can internalize that no and really feel like I'm not attractive. I understand that we're talking about different realms of our understanding. But hopefully, you know, the more you think about, there are lots and lots of things going on in people's lives, the more you're able to come up with some of those reasons when you're in the moment instead of just saying, I'm disgusting.
Right. I agree. So I think one of the things that we learned recently is that a couple that we've seen at many events and found very attractive told us that they don't really do any kind of swapping. So they're in the lifestyle for the social and flirting connections. And I don't pretend to know everything that the lifestyle does for them, but that's a big part of it. So they can listen to our podcast and think, wow, these guys have been basically fucking their way through North America and parts of Europe for so long. They're not going to want to be with us where I'm not comfortable having sex with anyone besides my husband. So rather than going into a long explanation about what they want, they might just find it easier to say no. And it really has nothing to do with you because they would say the same thing to George and Amal if they, if they approach them.
Yeah. Well, with that couple, we've now seen them at three different events, and we always thought that they were kind of like deacon around us, right? Like we thought they were fun and attractive, but we could never quite make a connection. And we finally did last week. And then they finally gave us this explanation that they don't really swap at all. So it was interesting because we were kind of wondering, I wonder if they don't like us, you know, maybe we're not their style. But when we finally did have the conversation and they took the time and felt the energy to explain to us, it was, again, not about us at all.
Right. Great. And in fact, I had more empathy and felt more connection for them because I now understood what their journey was like. And anyone who takes an unconventional path through a world of high expectations, they've had to actually have the strength of their convictions in many, many different situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that couple, I actually saw them later in the playroom and they were just on a single bed, just the two of them. And, you know, I kind of just gently approached her, touched her shoulder, gave her a little kiss, but did not attempt to engage because I knew very clearly that they were just there for the exhibitionism and to be in the sexy environment, but they were not looking for someone to join them.
Right.
So them being clear helped me to understand I'm not being turned down personally. This is just their style.
Right.
Also, lots of people get involved in overindulging in alcohol or other substances when they're at these events. And they could just be at the point where they feel like, I am not in a good headspace. I'm not in a good body space right now. And maybe they're not even clear enough in their own mind to say that in a clear way to you. So they might just say no. They might just avoid you. But again, that's not about you.
And they may be having too good a time.
Sure.
But with a substance that leads not to sexual feelings, but more sensual engagement. And so they really want to enjoy that with each other or maybe another couple who is on the same journey that they are on.
Mm-hmm. Which is another good possibility. Maybe they are feeling like something's going to happen with another couple and they don't want to start engaging with you because they're really hopeful that this other thing is going to work out.
Right.
So again, it's not about you.
Right. So we wanted to also talk about an issue that is allied with this one of asking for what you want and hearing what the other person wants and kind of making peace with that. And that is the whole idea of cliques in the lifestyle. And obviously, it can happen everywhere. It happened in the schoolyard when we were young. And we all have kind of, it's instinctive that everyone says, oh, cliques are bad. But of course, another word for cliques is close groups of friends.
Right.
And so how we make room for that in the lifestyle, how we enjoy those connections to the utmost without feeling like we're excluding others and potentially even ruining their experience.
Yeah. And this is, again, something I'm very tuned into because I was that kid who felt like an outsider. And it's so tempting now that I have achieved a kind of an insider status.
At least with some people.
With some people, yes. To really enjoy that, to lean into it and feel like, yes, I know so many people. I want to hang out with them. I want to, you know, reinforce those connections by continuing to talk to them and continuing to have sex with them. But you also have to be cautious. So there's this careful balance because when you're at events like this, you might see people you haven't seen in a year. And you really want to see them and spend time with them and play with them. But you also want to be careful to, as Mickey of Casual Swingers would say, have no closed circles.
Right.
So I think that's the compromise we always try to have, where we will allow ourselves to spend time with the people we like, but we always are open to having other people come in and join the conversation and, you know, become part of that group.
Right.
And that really happened in the past two PCAPs, where we had a friend who brought in a couple of other friends. And they, you know, we just widened the circle and they became part of the group. And that's how you meet people and make new friends and connections. So when you see that happening, yes, it's going to look like a clique from the outside. And yes, it's going to be scary to approach that group. But I think almost everyone thinks the same way we do, which is I love these people I'm talking to, but I'm also very, very open to talking to new people because that's part of what I'm here for too.
Right. Yes. Although, you know, to be real about it, we've also had instances where there are people whose company we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be difficult. So it sounds easy to say, let's keep the circle open and just keep absorbing new people. But we do make discriminations and say, yeah, I want more of you. And yeah, I want less of you. And that can be hard.
Sure. So what would you advise people to do if they find themselves in that situation where they approach a group and maybe the group does not open for them in the way they hope they would?
Yeah, so I always take the flip side of those things because I can't control the feelings of others, but I know I can control my own feelings. And so I want to, first of all, make sure that I'm never coming to a group with those kind of disruptive expectations when I just might not be their style. And it's okay for me not to be their style. So I'm always going to want to make sure that I make my approach carefully.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to apply for membership in a group. So it's not like there's an explicit request being made, but in that little informal back and forth that leads to greater or lesser intimacy. I want to make sure that I'm not presuming. So that's something that I can do for myself on behalf of other people. But if someone is coming in and saying in with their body language, with the assumptions of their conversation that they want to be part of something, and we really aren't feeling it, I think I want to apply the same principles we talked about earlier, which is to make sure that I affirm their humanity. So I'm going to give them some time. In fact, I would say if you're at a lifestyle event and did not spend 1 minute talking to someone who you do not find attractive and are not interested in doing anything with ever, you're doing the lifestyle wrong. Mm-hmm. We all have an obligation to make people feel included, A, because we might actually find we're attracted to them later and we don't want to cut ourselves off from that chance, but we also want to be wonderful human beings. And we appreciate it when others do that for us, and we want to do it for them too. So making sure that we are giving back to them in ways that we can, and just challenging ourselves by saying, did I spend some time talking with someone I have zero sexual interest in? And if the answer is no, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things we always try to do is eat a meal with a new couple. So every time we sit down to lunch or to dinner, we try to sit with someone new.
Right.
And it's not always the most gorgeous person. It's maybe just there's a couple at a table and there are two free seats and we sit with them. That's been a really important way for us to make connections with people who we might not have a sexual desire for, but we find out that we have a really nice social connection with.
Right. Yeah. We had an example just recently where we ended up sitting beside someone who was a medical professional. In fact, both he and his wife were in a very specific field, and they weren't a couple that we had interest in, but they were able to give us unbelievable advice about a very specific issue that we were facing. And that would never have happened unless we said, yeah, let's just sit with these people, because there are things that you can learn. And as you've often said, you can't fuck everybody in the lifestyle. You can't fuck everyone at a resort or even at a party.
So I try, but I can't.
I know you try, and it's admirable. But most of the interactions in the lifestyle are going to be social interactions.
Right.
And those social interactions can give in so many ways. So people might be very affirming of you and you feel better afterwards. They might provide you with perspective or information that you weren't going to get anywhere else, as was this case with these two doctors.
Yeah. And I always think my obligation is to be respectful and kind to everyone. My obligation is not to share my body with everyone.
Right.
So to go back to our opening example of this guy who was upset that we had mentioned an orgy he wasn't included in. Well, if that guy approached me, and I don't know who it was an anonymous feedback. If he approached me, I would not be mean to him.
Right.
I would talk to him. I would smile at him. I would ask him where he's from, have a nice conversation. But if I wasn't feeling attracted to him, I would have no obligation to have sex with him
right.
or invite him to my orgy. So I think it's really important to allow that people are going to have different things that they're attracted to, and it might not be you, and that is okay. We are not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and that's totally fine. I got turned down explicitly by the same couple for like the fourth or fifth time.
And, you know, yes, you did.
To the point where like you had to pull me aside and say, okay, Kate, you're kind of embarrassing yourself and making them uncomfortable. I was a little bit pissed about that, but I was also a little bit drunk. And the next day I went to both of them and said, I'm really sorry. I keep asking. I need to just get the message and let it drop. And I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable.
Right.
That didn't even feel bad to me. That didn't feel embarrassing. That didn't feel like I was being rejected. The only part of that whole thing that I felt really icky about was you saying that you're embarrassing yourself, because I felt like, oh, I don't want to bring shame on you. I'm not embarrassed asking them. I'm not embarrassed being turned down, but I feel really bad about making you feel embarrassed. And then when I approached them, they gave their explanation, which was completely valid and understandable. And again, was not about me, I don't think. It was just about them having slower pacing and me going a little bit too fast. And that's totally fine. Like, it's not I'm a bad, disgusting human. I just have a different style and a different pace, just like I do with you. So I still believe you love me, even though I go too fast for you.
Yes. So I think in wrapping up, there are so many complex situations that we encounter in the lifestyle. There's a lot at stake, our sense of self-worth, mm-hmm. our potential for joy and pleasure in sharing with other people, that we all have to bring, I think, a sense of empathy to every situation, whether it's a no or whether it's a yes, whether it's something that we're asking for or something that's being asked of us. That is really the best principle that we can apply. And keeping expectations low, not in a fatalistic sense, but in the sense of not feeling entitled to anything. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think about a lot is, you know, we have parties and we invite people, but those people may in turn have parties and they're free, even though they came to ours, not to invite us to theirs because we judge the situation on its own merits. So if we ask them to come to our parties because we think they will add to the total vibe in the group and make our experience ultimately better, but that doesn't mean that they owe us something in the future. That applies not just in parties, but in all situations, that less sense that we're owed anything and more sense that we're looking to be a part of something special and we're respecting each individual's right to make a decision about what will make their experience special. As we like to say, podcasting is a lonely endeavor. We're sitting here in our basement staring at two microphones and we don't really know if anyone listens except when we hear back from them. So,
if you want to get in touch with us or follow any of our socials, we now have so many we cannot list them. So we've put them all together in one handy place. If you go to katemonogamish.com, you'll see all of our ventures, our Instagram, Twitter, OnlyFans, travel company, Patreon, blog, and podcast, all the stuff we do in one place. We would also love for you to like and subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use. And if you have time, could you please leave us a positive review? We know that this is asking a lot, but it really does make a difference.
During this episode, we talked a lot about our travel business because we're so excited about it. But we want to take a moment to remind you that there are other individuals putting together amazing lifestyle travel opportunities, ones that we have personally taken advantage of in the last 12 months. I'm talking about Room77Life.com, who runs their Isla Mujeres hotel takeovers, Casual Swingers, who put together unbelievable events every April at Hedonism, Naughty Jim, who put together the Be Better at Being Bad event, also at Hedonism, and Libertine Events, who put together Podcastapalooza, or PCAP, of which we've gone to every single one so far and thoroughly enjoyed them and met some of the best friends in our lives. So keep that in mind as you're considering your travel. If Sapio Tours doesn't work for you, there are other great opportunities available.
Go out there and meet all kinds of people and build your community. Bye.
Bye.